credited as righteousness. This is a verse that's in the Bible that we talked about. We're going to talk about it a little more. You know, Abraham is was the beginning of what God began to do by starting Israel, calling them to be his nation so that they would be a nation that would be an example of God and how God's people should be. Abraham is called the father of the faithful. He's lovingly venerated in the pages of the Bible as a great man. The Apostle Paul talks about him in the book of Romans, and we'll read a little bit about that in just a moment. We know him, as the father of all Israel and all the tribes of Israel and all that took place after him. Yet, he's very different than many of the prophets and leaders in the Old Testament. He is the very servant of God who did no miracles, who did nothing great like so many of the others did. You know, a descendant of his parted the Red Sea, called down plagues from heaven on the Egyptians, and all those things occurred. Abraham never healed anyone like Elijah did later on. He didn't fly up into the sky in the whirlwind like Elijah. And none of those kind of things happened to him. He didn't command the Levites to carry the ark to stand in the middle of the Jordan River so that the floodwaters would part and they could all walk across on dry land. He didn't do any of those things. He didn't walk around Jericho silently for 7 days and then watch the walls fall down. It didn't happen. He fought no major battles. He conquered no territory that I know of. He does talk one time that he took all of his servants and rescued Lot. But that was someone anyone would have done in that age if they had had enough people, enough servants to be able to make a force big enough to go do that. But he didn't conquer territory. He didn't set up a nation that way. Reading the story of Abraham, I can't think of one thing he did that is extremely remarkable as far as the actions that he took. Not one thing that would make him any different than you or me. Or any of us, because he was just a human being serving God, a servant of God. That was his great calling. Abraham is venerated by God for one thing and only one thing, and he believed God and had faith. That is what God talks about with him. That's why he has the greatest of epithets that you could have written about you after you die, and that is the father of the faithful. The father of the faithful. He is remembered not by what he did, but by the faith and trust in God that he had. And his faith was tested, as we just heard Dave read. He wanted to have his son Ishmael receive the promises because he loved Ishmael. And Sarah was past having children. But he said, no, it would be his and Sarah's own child. That's what God told him. So he believed. Faith is what God wants us all to have. He wants us to be able to turn our hearts to him, to trust him, doesn't he? Isn't that what it's all about? That's why the Bible tells us that Abraham had his faith credited to him as righteousness. His faith was credited to him as righteousness. And that's an important thing. I think the King James Version says it was imputed to him as righteousness. It was placed upon him as righteousness. Our God's righteousness was placed upon him because of that faith. You know, even though Abraham's descendants were given the law, it was not by law that God wanted them, or even the rest of humanity, all of us, to live. The law showed what sin is, and God says it brings about wrath. Why? Because no one can perfectly keep the law. It can't be done. You know, I've said before that a lot of what Israel did was a kind of physically acting out what spiritually God was going to do later. Look at the example of Moses. Moses was one of the greatest servants of God. Once he was converted and turned to God, he followed God, as I say, through God through him, worked all those miracles of the plagues in Egypt. He parted the Red Sea. He helped him find water in the desert. All of those things that took place there. God wanted him to God worked with him, and he talked about the promised land, and he led all the people to the promised land. But in one thing, God says he made a mistake. And when he was getting the water out, he did it in anger, as though it was he doing it instead of God. And God says, because of that one thing, you won't enter the promised land. And I think that was just a type showing that even if you grew up in a Christian family and you'd always tried to do what was right, one sin would keep you out of the kingdom of God. And God says we've all sinned and fallen short of it. I think that's what Moses' example was trying to show there, that even one sin keeps you out. So how do you get around that? Because we all sin. Well, God wants faith and belief from us. That's what he's looking for. Faith, trust, looking towards God and believing him. Sometimes that's all you can do. There's no actions you can take other than believing and going forward. Living your life in that faith, living your life faith and trust. Even when it was physically impossible, for Abraham and Sarah to have a baby, he patiently waited and waited and waited all those years, decades going by from the time the first promises were made. And he waited and waited and waited for God to do his part of the covenant they'd made together. And God finally did. God keeps telling him, you're going to be a great nation. And he had one child through whom that was going to take place. Only one. And this is what God was trying to show him, to have that faith. God is truly looking for faith. He's not excited about our works, but he is excited about our trust in him. It's hard for many to believe that a man named Jesus could actually be God. And yet it takes faith to believe that and to trust that, to know that. We have to believe that he's our Savior, our God, our King. We have to believe those things. He's also our friend and brother. But it takes faith. It takes trust. It takes going forward and living our life day by day by day, knowing that God is going to do what he said he would do. And we've all, I think, experienced that. If you've been a Christian for more than a year, most of us for many, many decades, you know that God is faithful over time. And that God's promises of the kingdom of God are faithful. And that's what God is looking for us, is faith. Jesus lifts us up and saves us. He takes our sins upon himself. He gives us his righteousness. He takes our pride and our anger, our self-justification, our just unharnessed emotions that are out there that we sometimes can't control, the anger and the jealousy and the fear and the frustration, all of those things upon himself and on that cross. And he gives us his holiness. And he says all he wants from us is to believe. Let's go back to the book of Genesis, but I'm going to go back a couple of chapters earlier to Genesis chapter 15. Genesis 15. Here in verse 1, here it says, after this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. So God is telling Abraham that I'm the shield that goes before. I'm the one that protects you. I'm your reward. I'm the one that's been here for you and am here for you. So this is verse 2 of Genesis 15. But Abram said, Sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless and the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, you have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. And then the word of the Lord came to him, this man will not be your heir, but a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir. And he took him outside and he said, look up at the sky, count the stars. If indeed you can count them. Then he said, so shall your offspring be. And Abram believed the Lord and he credited it to him as righteousness. Abram believed the Lord and it was accredited to him as righteousness. So Abraham believed and he was considered to be righteous because of his faith. His faith was credited or imputed to him. God said his faith was as good as righteousness. How could that be Well, it's because of what Jesus did, has done, what he would do for Abraham in the future, what he did do, and what he's still doing today. Because of Jesus and his life, death, burial, resurrection, all of those things, Jesus took our sins on the cross, gave us his holiness and righteousness instead of death. We're given life by the very bread of life, Jesus himself. And I think that's so important. Let's go to Genesis 17, where Dave was reading there earlier, verse 1. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. Walk before me faithfully. Be blameless. Then I will make my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers. Abram fell face down, and God said to him, as for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. That's quite a promise that God made to him. And we drop down here to verse 15. And God said to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you are no longer to call her Sarai, but her name will be Sarah. I will bless her and will surely give you a son by her. I will bless her that she will be the mother of nations. Kings of people will come from her. So this is quite a prophecy that's taking place here. Abram fell face down and laughed and said to himself, will a son be born to a man 100 years old? Will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90? And God said, and Abraham said to God, if only Ishmael might live under your blessing. And God said, yes, but your wife Sarah will bear you a son, and you will call him Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. Verse 22, but my covenant I will establish, verse 21, my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah will bear you by this time next year. So Abraham took his son Ishmael and all the people that were born in his household, and it says he had them circumcised. So here, it took many years for Abraham and Sarah to have a son, but God said Abraham was faithful. He was faithful before he was circumcised, not afterwards. And it was accredited as righteousness as soon as he believed, not the other way around. And you can see that in Romans 4. So let's go to Romans 4. In Romans, the fourth chapter here. Where was Abraham's trust? It was in God and not in the law. Circumcision wasn't going to save anyone. Circumcision wasn't going to help anyone. Those under the law and the old covenant were to be circumcised. But those who were of faith, no matter what race or nation, are the blessed of God, are the ones that God is looking for. And so here in verse 1 of Romans, the fourth chapter, it says, what shall we say that Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh, discovered in this manner? If, in fact, Abraham was justified by works, he had something to boast about, but not before God. He said if he felt like he was justified by works, he could have bragged about it, but not before God. What does Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. And we just read that in Genesis 15, in verse 6. Where it says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. And that took place in chapter 15, well before the circumcision covenant was made in chapter 17, with the faith that he had. Verse 4, now to the one who works, wages are not credited as a gift, but as an obligation. However, to the one who does not work, but trusts God, who justifies the ungodly, their faith is credited as righteousness. David says the same thing when he speaks of blessedness of the one to whom God credits righteousness apart from works. Verse 7, blessed are those whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord will never count against them. because Jesus has taken that sin and he's poured out the power of his Spirit upon each and every one of us, and his forgiveness and his righteousness, his holiness is the gift that we get. He says, verse 9, is this blessedness only for the circumcised or for the Jew, or also for the uncircumcised or the Gentile? We have been saying that Abraham's faith was credited to him as righteousness. Under what circumstance was it credited? Was it after he was circumcised or before? It was not after, but before. And he received circumcision as a sign or seal of the righteousness that he had by faith while he was still uncircumcised. So then he is the father of all who believe but have not been circumcised, in order that righteousness might be credited to them. And so he said he's also the father of the circumcised. And he goes on to talk about that. But down in verse 13, he says, it was not through the law that Abraham and his offspring received the promise that he would be the heir of the world. He said it didn't come through the law. That didn't happen. It was not through the law, but through the righteousness that comes by faith. For if those who depend on law are heirs, faith means nothing and the promise is worthless. He said the promise is nothing but worthless. Because the law brings wrath, and where there is no law, there is no transgression. Therefore, the promise comes by faith. And I think one of the reasons God gave the law was to show what sin is, to help us to see sin, to understand it. He says, therefore, verse 16, the promise comes by faith, so that may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who have the faith of Abraham. In other words, to the Gentiles, to the whole world is what this is all about. He says, he is the father of us all. Those who have the faith of Abraham, he's the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a family of many nations. He is our father in the sight of God, in whom he believed. The God who gives life to the dead and called into being things that were not. So this is the God that you serve. And he goes on to say in verse 18, because this, I think this is very important. It's no matter what race or nation or nationality you're from, or who you are, faith is what God is looking for in your life, in your heart, in your mind, in your life, the way you live. And I think that's so very important. Verse 18, against all hope, Abraham in hope believed and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God. Sometimes we need to be strengthened in our faith and encouraged and to keep right on going. It happens to a lot of God's people. You look at John the Baptist. He did so many things, so many positive, wonderful things. And then he's in prison and he's sitting there and wondering what's going on. And he sends a message to Jesus, said, are you really the one that's supposed to come? And Jesus strengthened his faith. He said, look at the miracles that are being done. The dead are raised. The blind can see. The deaf can hear. You're seeing people cured of diseases and demons pushed out. He said, you know this is right. And I think it encouraged his faith towards the end of his life. And it says he was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. This is why it was credited to him as righteousness. He believed, he says, that God had power to do what he had promised, that God was able to carry out whatever he said, and the promises God has made to you of salvation, of eternal life, of being adopted into the very family of God, of being a brother to Jesus and a son to the Father. All of those things, he said, all of that is there because of what he had done. He said, verse 23, the words "it was credited to him" were written not for him alone, but also for us, to whom God will credit righteousness, for us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. When Jesus was raised to life, that's when our justification came about. That's when it happened. That's when these things took place. Abraham's trust was in God and not the law. No matter what race or nation we're from, we're all considered righteous before God, because when he says it was credited as righteousness to Abraham, as Paul says here in Romans, that also means it's the same thing with you and me. If we take the greatest horse trade in history, if you're on the side of it, we give all of our sin and death to God, and he gives us his righteousness. There's no greater blessing than that, than what God has done. Our works are nothing. They cannot be done perfectly. It's impossible. Even if you were raised in a Christian family and always tried to do what was right, you're still not going to be perfect. It's impossible. That's why Paul said himself, all of those good things that he thought he was doing, he considered as nothing but dung, is basically what he said. They're just dung. I threw them out. They're no good. With the first sin, there is no hope. But he says that's not the truth. God knows us. God knows our weaknesses. He isn't fooled by the fact that we can't keep God's law perfectly. He knows. He knows what it's like to be human. We can't even do the letter of the law, much less trying to do the spirit of the law. How hard is that? Very, very difficult. But God in his mercy sent his son into the world. He said not to condemn the world, but to bring life for all who believe in him, who have faith in him, who trust in him, who believe he's our Savior. You know, Jesus came to live the perfect life in submission to the Father. He knew no sin. He lived that life for us. He died for us by taking away our sins. And he brings us life through his resurrection, guaranteeing our salvation, our justification, sending us the Holy Spirit. God knew we couldn't do it. We couldn't obey on our own. We couldn't keep the law. We couldn't just do all these things, because I've seen people try in our denomination in the past. I've seen people who physically did everything you could think of, and yet spiritually were so miserable, depressed, frustrated, and angry, because the letter of the law didn't save them. It didn't help them. It didn't give them what they needed. What they needed was God in their life. What they needed was Jesus living in them. What they needed was the power of the Holy Spirit lifting them. And the law can't do that. But he says, God gives us that. He knew we couldn't do it. He sent the Son to save us for doing for us what we could not do. He did for us what we couldn't do. He obeyed the Father. And it's by faith we are saved. And that faith is a gift of God as well. But, you know, the Holy Spirit gives us the fruit of the Spirit, and faith is a part of that fruit. And it's a gift from God, and God gives us that as a gift and a blessing. We can call on the great God and call him Father. We can call on the Son of God, the great I Am, and call him our brother, our Savior, our Lord, our King, and our friend. And the one that we will follow, because he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And just like Abraham, our faith is credited to us. It's imputed to us as God's righteousness, covering us. And that's what grace is. It's just like this covering umbrella that just covers us in God's righteousness, his holiness, his glory, his blessing. And Jesus did this for us, taking our sins on him, suffering for us, and giving us life, eternal life, and giving us his holiness. That is what he did. That's why Abraham was the father of the faithful. That's why Abraham was such a great man of God. That's why God lists him at the top, so to speak, if there was a hierarchy of people in the Old Testament, because he's the father of the faithful. He's the father of those who have faith, that are living in faith and trusting in God. You and I have never seen Jesus walk on the face of this earth. But we have known Jesus and do know Jesus, and we know he walks in us, lives in us. That takes faith and trust and belief that God is powerful enough to do everything that he has promised, even to raise us from the dead and bring us into eternal life. That is the God we serve. Almighty God in heaven, our creator, we bow to you. We worship you, we glorify you, and we honor you. You have just filled us with your Holy Spirit, filled us with life and energy. Father, we're still human. We still make mistakes. We still have problems and all of those things. But at the same time, we know you are here with us, that you, Father, never leave us. You never forsake us, but you fill us with your love and mercy. And Father, by the gift of faith that you have given us, you have granted us righteousness. And you've credited that to us as being ours. And when you look at each and every one of us, you see righteousness and holiness, because we are covered by your grace and your mercy and the blood of Jesus and the life-giving waters of the Holy Spirit. And Father, we give you honor for it all in Jesus' loving, holy name. Amen. This is a time, I believe, when we